Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Holy God, you are worthy of our praise. We praise you in the good seasons. We praise you in the sunshine and the rain and the clouds and the early days of life and the old age of life. We thank you, Lord, for every season of life. We praise you. We thank you for our brothers and sisters who faithfully come and share and encourage our hearts and lead us as we worship in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for the work that's going on all across this campus tonight. Pray for Brother Tim and the students as he is sharing the gospel these days in a very important way with them. They're bringing their friends. May students hear the preaching of the Word of God. May they hear and believe in the one they cannot see. We pray for Brother Ken and all the children's ministries, and thank you for all of our workers and the people who are faithful to help there. Week in, week out, we seek to teach them the truths of God's Word as little children so they might look to Jesus as they grow. Brother Jeff and the choir and all of our other Bible teachers tonight up and down the hallway. We thank you for the rich blessing of our church and the people who serve and their various gifts. May tonight you help us to think about the glory of the Lord Jesus, our Messiah, who was anointed the greatest preacher of all. Give us understanding into these words tonight, and we ask that you would help us to have wisdom and understanding in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good to see all of you, and I hope you picked up the outline. Find your place in Isaiah 61. Scott, turn it down just a little bit, would you? It may be this right up here, just this monitor, just a little bit. Leave it on a little bit, but maybe bring it down just a little bit. I sure appreciate that. And we appreciate Ricky and Jeff and Scott. Don't you all appreciate? These guys do this every week. They do this every week. And for those of you who are watching online, may the Lord bless you. We love you, and we know that many of you cannot be with us, and so we pray God's blessings on you. Then I want you to find your place in Isaiah 61. Then I also want you to find your place in Luke chapter 4. So get your fingers and limber them up a little bit there. And it's cold outside, you know. Blow on them, get them limbered up, and find your place over there in Luke chapter 4. So we continue to look at the glories of the Lord Jesus. Oh, as we approach the end of Isaiah, we see magnificent truths that we'll seek to think about together of the glory of the Messiah as he comes a second time. There are these glimpses. It's like looking at the mountains far in the distance, but you see the glory. You see the glory of the Lord Jesus in the promises of his soon to come return as we finish the book of Isaiah and we think about the glories of the New Jerusalem and also of the millennial time. And we'll try to talk about some of these, Lord willing, as the Lord gives us opportunity. We've been walking, a lot of us in here together, through Isaiah for a long time. You know, you're older today than you've ever been, Brother Bob, and so am I.
Amen.
We're older today than when we started Isaiah. How's that? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, this is the testimony of the Lord Jesus. This is His testimony. This is the testimony of the servant of the Lord. Speaking by prophecy, speaking by the Holy Spirit, Isaiah, hundreds of years, 400 plus years before the Lord Jesus, and we're going to read it in Luke 4 actually, speaks these words again in fulfillment. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, so they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. Now, Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Now you go to Luke chapter 4, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And keep your finger there in Luke 4 because I'll make a couple of comments in the outline about it. So let me just point them out. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, verse 1, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when he had ended, when they had ended, he became hungry. And Jesus returned to Galilee, verse 14, in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout all the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. He was preaching and teaching. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." God the Father appointed Jesus Christ to be the preacher of good news. This is the point, this is the task of the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice in Luke 4, he anointed me, first line, to preach the gospel. He has sent me to preach release to the captives and recovery of sight, and to set free those who are oppressed. It's tied to his preaching, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Tonight is going to be a little bit interesting for what I want to say. I'm going to depart in a moment from my outline. I'll come back. I don't know how time will go, but I have some things I want to say to you tonight about the ministry of preaching in the church and the importance of it, so that we might note that. I want it on record. I've been here 12, 13, who knows how many years. I've not ever spoken this directly about it, but I want to say some things tonight so that they're heard, and I know others listen in and tune in at times and tell me they've listened. So what more honorable topic, what more wonderful privilege for a preacher to talk about the greatest preacher who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about preaching tonight. There's a lot of strange ideas and thoughts about preaching. And so I want to speak to that tonight. But first I want you to see this. This is important now to see. The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was a Spirit-filled ministry. Listen, Jesus Christ was a Spirit-filled man. Spirit-filled. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When the Spirit is on you, when the Spirit, as we know now in gospel days, is in you, there is a sense in which you are possessed by God. This is true for every born-again believer. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is a miracle. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. That's true for every believer. But then the Lord begins to describe here in Isaiah 61, His anointed preaching ministry. So follow the outline. Jesus was Spirit-filled His entire life. I just read it to you, chapter 4, verse 1, Luke. And it's interesting to see the parallel if you're still there. Luke, this is not a mistake. This is not an accident. This is the direction of the Holy Spirit in putting this together, as the Holy Spirit is the guide and the one who put in the mind of Luke and all the other writers of the Word of God the things there to say. Notice Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from Jordan, and notice the Holy Spirit led him around where? In the wilderness. The Holy Spirit leads us to strange places, doesn't He? If we're going to follow, you see, as many as are sons of God, we follow, we're led by the Holy Spirit. You say sometimes when you're complaining to God, why am I going through this? Well, you're following the Spirit, unless you're in sin. The Lord leads us some strange places. I love it. He was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. This is the Son of God. This is the eternal Son of God, fully man. And the Holy Spirit of God is in the center of His life. He is a Spirit-filled man. For 40 days tempted by the devil, filled with the Spirit. But He still was being tempted. Somebody, well, if I'm filled with the Spirit, I won't be tempted. Somebody hasn't taught you the Bible right. So here He is being tempted by the devil, and He's filled with the Spirit. And then notice the parallel, verse 14, and Jesus returns after the temptation, after resisting the devil, and the devil left, verse 13, until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Dunamis is the Greek word. Jesus returned to Galilee in the dunamis, dynamite, the power of the Spirit. And news spread throughout all the region. He was teaching, and He was being praised for His preaching and teaching ministry. What's later said when Peter is with the Gentiles, he preaches to Cornelius' family, and this is here in your outline, Acts 10:38. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him. Please notice Peter's words are very direct. God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you're anointed by God with the Holy Spirit and with power. And He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with Him. I've often thought about, you know, there's who would be some of the famous preachers in history I would love to have heard. I read many of their materials. It would have been wonderful to hear Augustine. Augustine, who was a lawyer, 4th century. Such an impact on the church. But his preaching style was very itinerant. In those days, preaching the churches was, you stand up the whole time you're in church. How would you all like that? An hour-long sermon, you get to stand up the whole time. But it was also very in the marketplace. It was strange how the church gathered in those days. We have volumes of his sermons, but you know, they didn't have recordings. Someone was trying to write this down. I would have loved to have heard him. I would have loved to have heard John Chrysostom. He's called the golden mouth preacher of the 4th century. In Turkey, Istanbul, where it used to be called Constantinople. The big church, if you Google it, Hagia Sophia, that's the large, you talk about a mega church, go out, look up Hagia Sophia when you go home. A massive church built by Constantine there as Turkey, where Turkey and where Asia and Europe meet. By the way, it's where Paul went across. Lots of stuff there. John Chrysostom, the golden mouth. He was an expositional preacher, and that means he preached verse by verse. He had the name Golden Mouth for a reason. And the few amounts of his materials that we have, brilliant, unbelievable. I would have loved to have heard the Honey Mouth. Richard Sibbs, the old Puritan. He was a preacher who had apparently a very unique way. They called him the Honey Mouth because as he preached, there was such soothing and comfort and healing in his preaching. His works and his writings are phenomenal. He is one of my favorite. He's one of my pastors. So many I could name. to hear Luther preach. Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther from the Reformation. And to hear someone that we would not know, many of you would not know, but Balthasar Hubmaier, who was probably the greatest of the preachers of the Anabaptists, the forefathers of Anabaptists, who, by the way, at the age of Ryan, how old's Ryan?
40.
What is he?
40.
Okay, Hubmaier, and how old's Tim? Does anybody know how old
41.
Tim? Huh?
41.
Okay. At 42, Hubmaier was martyred and died. But his writings, you see, he discovered salvation by grace. He began to preach, coming out of the shadows and the chains and the bondage of Roman Catholicism. Oh, far more than the reformers of Luther, Calvin, and the others. No, Balthasar Hubmaier preached like Baptists preach today. But you won't know him until you get to heaven. So we have Jesus, the Spirit-filled preacher. But who would I have chosen to hear more than anyone else? Jesus Christ preach. Notice these words. I've just collected up some things from the Scriptures. John 7:46. Never has a man spoken the way this man speaks. Now look, in history, those of you who've gone to school and had some time to study, you know, there were famous people who were used rhetoric, it was called. They spoke and they were great rhetoricians. They could speak and they could give things. And Rome had famous ones that were in the Senate. Cicero and others, they were famous for their rhetoric. And that was the word they talked about. It was a form of speaking publicly. But they didn't preach like Jesus, the Spirit-filled preacher. The Lord Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount. It's here in your outline. When Jesus finished these words, you know the Sermon on the Mount. I know who's in this room tonight. When Jesus had finished these words, and the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, not as their scribes. When he came to his hometown, he began teaching them. They were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The word logos, it means spoken word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, the preacher. The preacher, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was first a preacher, a proclaimer, a herald. Jesus was the fulfillment of the predicted promise of the servant preacher of the Lord. He closed the book, and what did he say? I saved it now for you. It's there if you have Luke still open. He closed the book after reading this portion we're reading in Isaiah 61. He gave it back to the attendant in the synagogue, as was the custom, and he sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, in his hometown," first sermon to his home synagogue, "today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Verse 22, and all were speaking well of him, and wondering, oh, you should note this in your Bible, at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. I would have loved to have heard that preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the outline goes on, and we'll come back to it in a moment, and we'll highlight some things, and I'm trying to be mindful of my time, but I do want to... Jesus preached the good news to the afflicted. Jesus preached healing to the brokenhearted. Jesus preached liberty to those who are captive. Jesus preached the day of salvation, the day of redemption, the gospel. Jesus preached the day of judgment, God's vengeance. And Jesus preached comfort to the mourning. Now, I want to pause and say some things to you and to this church about preaching, the ministry of preaching, which is so greatly misunderstood by Christians today as we come to these days of understanding what worship really is. First of all, as I said, and these are not notes that you have. This is some other things that I've decided I'm going to just, today's the day to do this, and I'm going to do it. Jesus was the greatest preacher to ever live. He is the example to every gospel preacher. If a gospel preacher takes any other preacher for their example besides the Lord Jesus, shame on them. I will not do that. I will do my best and have for now 48 years I've been preaching. I will always use the pattern, pay careful attention in my readings of the gospel to the way the Lord Jesus preached and taught. They're two different things. But they both combine in preaching ministry. The Lord Jesus is the pattern for all gospel preachers. There was never anything said about the way He looked or dressed. It was His words. What I pick up on that about His dress is that it was common. It didn't matter. He looked like everybody else. He looked like the other rabbis of His day. It wasn't in His dress. It wasn't in His looks. He spoke with authority, and He spoke, as we've seen in detail, He came speaking the very words of the eternal God the Father, who told Him what to say, and what He said was in His preaching, though He had other kinds of conversation. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been and always will be built on the foolishness of preaching. Not on singing, and I'm all for it. Not on serving, on preaching. Preaching is at the center of the building of the church, and it's foolishness. Who in the world would pick preaching to be the center stone upon which you build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's foolishness. Now, with that in mind, you're in Luke, so just flip over to 1 Corinthians. This crowd in here is familiar with this. That's okay. It's good to be reminded of it. You see, worship is not complete without preaching. This, you know, I've been doing this a long time. I watched this evolution, this thing go on in church, where, you know, it was, a lot of preaching and a little singing. Then it got to be a little bit more singing and praying, and then it got to be a little less preaching, and then it moves all around. Worship is not complete without preaching. A worship service is not complete without the declaration of the Word of God in some form and preaching. So Paul says to the Corinthians, a rough church. Corinthians was a rough church. Corinth was a rough place. Metropolitan place with a lot of influences, just much like America, and just a melting pot of all kinds of cultures and things going on, immorality and all the rest that goes with it. But what does he say in verse number 17? For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in the cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. Any tricks, any rhetoric, any fanciness added to preaching takes away from the glory of the cross. Preachers are not entertainers. Preachers are not storytellers. Preachers are not historians. They have been given the assignment to do what the Lord Jesus said. Repent, for the kingdom of God is among you. That's the message. That's what preachers are called to do. He says, I was not sent to baptize. I was sent to preach the good news. And you know Paul is following on the line of the Lord Jesus. Peter was the first to preach, wasn't he? Pentecost. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes is a man preaches. They didn't have a breakout in singing praise. They were singing Jewish praise and the Psalms. The first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit falls is they had a preacher who preached the foolishness of the cross. Foolishness. Why everybody, and lo and behold, all the others start preaching in other languages. And they're preaching Christ, and everybody thinks they're drunk. This is foolish, they all say. 18, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. Preaching is essential so that God's people might be stirred to follow Jesus and live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, verse 23. We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, that's ridiculous. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So people like me, at 14, are called to preach, is what we called it. Called to preach. And so the long line of unknown, forgotten, lost in time, there's a long line of men who have stood and preached the Word of God clearly, distinctively, and they are looked upon as the foolish. Because in our fancy world, who would imagine that the most important thing is to take this book and have someone stand up for sometimes 30 or beyond minutes and preach? That's not the way you're going to get it done, according to business geniuses and others. The church has been built on the foolishness of preaching. Now, I'm trying to say some things to you that I want you to hear, because a lot of you have listened to a lot of preaching and you've known a lot of preachers, but I want to say to you with all due respect, I don't think you may have gotten it right. Preaching, you see, preaching is the primary task of the pastor. It is the primary task. Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, if you want to look there, 2 Timothy 4, I can just read it to you. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom. This is quite a charge. Did you hear that charge? What's he going to tell him? What's he going to say? What's Paul writing here? By the way, the last chapter he ever wrote, and who knows, probably not long after this, Nero cut his head off and threw him out in the junk pile. There was no burial for Paul. He was a prisoner of Rome, and what they did with Roman prisoners, they cut their heads off and threw them on the body pile. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, by His appearing, build churches. No. Organize classes. No. Preach the word. That's it. Do it until Jesus comes. Oh, preach the word in season and out of season. Here's the implication. You preach, you reprove when you preach sometimes. You rebuke when you preach sometimes. You exhort when you preach sometimes with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Preaching that comes from preaching is the way you present doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves their own set of preachers in accordance with their own desires. We don't like that preacher. All he does, like a man said to me in this church who's now gone, in my first 3 or 4 years here, when are you going to get off all this Jesus stuff? I'm not lying. I said, I'm never going to get off of it. You might as well go somewhere else. Sorry. And that's been part of my problem, right? I say too much. Look at this. They will turn their ears from truth and will turn aside to myths. That's first century. Now, I preach in the day of the internet. I preach in the day where you can listen to dead preachers and all their sermons, which is great. I listen to a lot of those dead preachers too. I don't know what will happen to all my things when I'm dead. As far as I'm concerned, throw it in the trash. I've done my task with... Here's the deal. God sent me here to preach to you. Amen. You're stuck with me till I'm rolled out of here. I'm not Adrian Rogers. I'm not Charles Stanley. I'm not whatever your favorite preacher is. I'm Mike Miller. Hi, it's good to meet you. And I've been called and sent here to preach the Word of God the way I am made to preach it. Hallelujah. And if you don't like it, that's fine. They didn't like Paul. Well, no. They didn't like Paul. He was too timid. They needed him to be more fire and brimstone. Come on, Paul. Get worked up. Yeah. You see, I'm going to say this now. Preaching style is not the foundation of preaching. Now, you've got to listen to an old man here now. Patty doesn't like me to say I'm an old man, but you better listen now. This is the truth. I've been doing this a long time. And I have so many friends who walked this line and have preached, and you know, some in heaven, some still doing it. If I lined up some of my dearest friends as preachers, you'd see us, and there's such a difference in all the ways we preach. But you see, we're not flavors. We're not like ball players. Well, he's good on defense, but he's terrible on offense. We need this smooth talker. We need this guy that, you know, gets out on the end of his pant leg and, you know, tears his pants up, hollers and sweats, jumps off the platform, carries on. Some in here have been taught that preaching is a certain style. Somebody's led you astray. Because I'm going to tell you, some of the best preachers you might ever hear never raise their voice. But what they say is well-prepared, Spirit-anointed preaching. I'm not saying some people don't holler and shout and glory to God, praise. I grew up in that kind of... Look, I grew up in revivalistic Oklahoma Baptist world. You poke over here, you have no idea what those crazy people do over there. And I've seen some great preachers. But style is not the foundation of Spirit-filled preaching. The Lord Jesus spoke, and there was power in what He said. Generally, the rabbinic way is you sit down to teach. In our Western culture, we've been taught to stand up and preach. You sit down to preach and teach. Preaching is preaching is only to be judged not by the style of the preacher. Some of you like it loud. You got your favorite one. And you can listen to them every day. See, this is what I do. Every day, I know that many of our people in our church, you know, it's like, it's the old thing. We love Pastor Mike, but, yeah, that's right. I'm just an old plow mule. I'm going to do it the way I do it. And some of you have been listening to me do this for years. No wonder we're in the shape we're in, right? But you can go home, but you can turn on Dr. So-and-so. That's good. I'm for it. I can recommend some good Dr. So-and-sos for you to listen to. I can also warn you about some other Dr. So-and-sos you ought to get away from. But that's, people aren't interested in the preacher's opinion about that. Because you see, who is the preacher? Who is the preacher? You see, the way you measure a preacher's work is on how well he does in laboring in the Word of God. What insights come from the Word of God, and oh, not just like a commentary. If a preacher only gives you the commentary and tells you what it says, but doesn't do application, then he's not finished his job. That's where it gets personal. So for my little simple style, like I always tell the story about James Sager and Carolyn's grandson. My style is predictable. Focal truth, observations from the text, and things to remember and do. Well, their grandson, like Ryan told me, one day, you know, he got impatient. Pastor Mike was like, oh, my soul. You know, finally, when it got to things to remember on the slide up there, he started folding everything up. Ryan said, why are you doing that? He said, because he's the things to remember. It's time to go. My point is, that's not going to be Pastor Bob's way. I do it in order to provide a structure so that we get on with looking at what we need to get to. But you judge me by the content I talk about. That's what you judge. If preachers have all their time to rant about the government and carry on about elections and rant and tell jokes so that they're comfortable and everybody likes them, and they spend their time, waste people's time, you know, I don't do much of that. I'm sorry. It's the biblical content of the preacher and what he's laboring. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul said that to a preacher. You judge me on how I divide the word of God, and I'm happy for you to do it. And I've been doing it here with you a long time. So what would be some advice I would give you as your preacher about preaching? Well, how about this? Prepare to hear preaching. You know, it's been so interesting through the years. You know, boy, if we could just have some more, if we could just stir our souls with praise and worship, that's what we need. And you could add a little bit of just saying a few words at the end. No. No. It builds. The pulpit is in the center. In the Baptist world, the pulpit is in the center of that platform for a reason. It has nothing to do with whoever the preacher is. It has to do with the desk and the task. We're sending a message. This is central. This is primary. The other isn't preliminary. Jeff and I talk about it all the time. Jeff understands. This is coming together in worship and praise leading to the preacher who better be prepared. I'm talking about myself and others. You know, here's what my old Pastor Harvey used to tell me when I was a little kid preacher. And I'm going to run out of time, but I don't care. I'm going to finish this real quick. Harvey said to me when I was a youth pastor just preaching, he said, talking about preparation. He said, you can't fool God and you certainly aren't going to fool the people. If you're not ready, they're going to know it. I don't know how many times Gail has texted me and said, what's the matter with you today? Are you sick or what's wrong with you? Get straighten yourself up and shape up. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I've been doing this with you a long time. We cough, we choke, we get sick, we live through sadness, we live through gladness, in season and out of season. So what good is a preacher if he can't preach through all the seasons? You just can't be perfect every week. You preach like everybody else. You put on your britches one leg at a time and you stand up there and you preach the Word of God. You submit yourself and live in the Holy Spirit and preach in the Spirit. And what do? So number one, prepare yourself when you come to preach. And how about this? Submit to the preached Word. You know, I've spent a lot of my life listening to people who are unteachable. I don't want to be with that guy. I mean that. I'm talking about my own personal life. I want to learn. But I have spent my ministry life, I'm talking about years, preaching to the unteachable. Well, you know, I'm not alone. Look at the arrogance of those foolish Jews when they had the chance to hear the greatest preacher who ever came on the earth. Look at the foolishness of those men. But being unteachable, coming and saying, you know what, I'd like for Brother Mike to, you know, roam all over the platform, holler and sweat and throw his handkerchief out there, and I'd like him to get a little bit more animated than just stand there. But maybe it's this. Well, he's standing there. Am I listening to what he's saying? Also, how about this? Go down memory lane sometime. Remember the preachers who have preached the Word to you all your life. Now, I can promise you this. They weren't well known. They weren't famous. Give me just a minute. But you are a different person because of them. Prepare your heart when you come to hear the preaching of the Word of God. Worship comes through preaching and hearing the Word of God. Accept the preaching of the Word with humility, as James says. And don't forsake or ignore the preaching of God's Word. We got people who go out the door after the music. I'm not mad about it. It's been happening all. I've seen it all over the country. As if worship's over. And this is like an add-on. No, it's actually, it's not. The church is built on the foolishness of preaching the cross. How will they hear without a preacher? Some of you have said to me at times, well, you know, when you were preaching today, you seemed angry. No, maybe so. But you see, preaching takes on different tones. So we're in these heavy waters right now. So someone said this week to me, boy, you know, my wife said, boy, Sunday Easter, that was the most evangelistic sermon you've ever preached. I appreciate that because we are. We have to believe on the one we've never seen. But you see, I'm also the pastor. So why have we been laboring through? Look, did you know we've been in the book of Genesis for almost a year? You may not know that, but you know, we started with, you know, remember your Creator. Do y'all remember that? And now we went to family secrets. We've been in Genesis talking about some really hard issues, haven't we? We got another one on Sunday, family separation. Man. Some of these things we're talking about keep people from growing in their spiritual life. These are the things they're stuck on. That's why we preach the whole Bible, not just our favorite things. So when you come, I'm talking about you now. I'm not talking about you. Go. So when you hear me, yes, sometimes it's to comfort. Sometimes it is to teach. Sometimes it is to exhort. Sometimes it is to rebuke. He didn't have any right to say that. Well, if I've preached it to myself first, I'm going to say to you as plainly and as heartfelt as I can, if somebody's about to go off the cliff, I'm going to do whatever I can to get their attention to try to stop them. So I preach with the emotions and personality I have. I'm not Pastor Joe down the street. So you got me with all my rawness and all of my whatever it is. Forgetfulness. You know, somebody said to me one day, you know, you said that three times. I know. I said it three times, and I'm sorry I said it three times. Or, you know, you didn't say that correctly. I know I didn't say that correctly. Look, I used to have in my first church a lady who was an English teacher who wrote down every one of my grammatical mistakes and gave me a report at the end of the service. And am I making that up? And she was my dear friend, Florine, and I'm grateful for it all the rest of my life. Let me just tell you this, finally. Every age needs to hear preaching. Let me tell you something. I wish you could see what I see when all the children are in church worship on Sundays. They're listening. Now, they don't quite know what all's happening with Pastor Mike. They can't always know what, but they're listening. They see that this is something different. This is something different. And if a preacher is so arrogant that he thinks it's all about him, well, I can promise you this, after living my life this long, he won't be around long. God will take care of that. He has a way of, if he's commissioned you to preach, he has an expectation of what you do. We'll come back to the Lord Jesus next week, but I wanted to say that to you, and I love you in the Lord. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all, wonderful words of life. Sinner, list of the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. When Benjamin Franklin was the publisher for George Whitefield, who had a tremendous impact on revival and the growth of the Christian church in America. So one day, Benjamin Franklin was grabbing his coat, running out the door, and one of his pressmen said, "Where are you going so fast?" He goes, "I'm going to hear Whitefield preach." And the guy laughed and said, "You don't believe anything Whitefield believes." He turned back and said, "But he does." You didn't get it, did you? You didn't get it. Even the deist, Benjamin Franklin, could not get over seeing a man like George Whitefield, possessed by the Holy Spirit, standing in fields preaching the Word of God. Through the foolishness of preaching, God saves some. And that's what we're here to do. All right? Now I've said it. I've had my piece. I'm done with it. And to the praise of the glory. Well, I don't, look, you know what I'm saying. I want to go on record because that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Heavenly Father, bless these my brothers and sisters. We pray for all of the men who are here, who preach. Tim's been preaching tonight. They all preach. They all preach in so many different arenas. Thank you for our pastors. Thank you for our laymen in our church who preach. You call us to preach. You sent the church out to preach. Help us to preach wherever we go till Jesus comes again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Sorry I went long. Have a good evening. See you Sunday.